look and live. Quite beautiful. Tonight, Romans chapter 8, next to the last sermon in Romans 8. And as we've seen, wonderful, wonderful chapter in God's Word, Romans chapter 8. Quickly review some of the things. Verse 1, 2, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Verses 4 to 8, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Then in verse 9, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. Then we saw how in 14 to 16 that the Holy Spirit moves in, makes us children of God, and witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. And as children of God, verse 17, we are joint heirs. What an amazing truth. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18 and on, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And therefore, as we saw, we groan for when our body will be renewed. We will get our new body, as we talked about Sunday morning. And then verse 26, we don't know what we should pray for. And thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and makes them acceptable to God the Father. And then that beautiful truth last week, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. So everything that God allows in our lives is for our good, and it is part of God conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we begin in verse 31 down through verse 37. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What shall we, or who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What a beautiful passage. So I'm going to take my title from verses 31 and verse 32. Excuse me. That phrase, for us. For us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You. We pray You'd meet with us tonight. Use Your Word in our hearts to teach and grow us. Guide us in Your truth. May the Holy Spirit be in control of this service. We give it to You in Jesus' name. Amen. God, in this passage, outlines the many, many things, not all of them, but many of the wonderful things that He does for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But He starts by saying in verse 31, if God be for us, if you are a born-again Christian, God is on your side. Isn't that good news? Much better to have the Creator of the universe on your side than not on your side. Amen? And notice in Psalm 118, verse 6, what David had to say about this. David understood this, that when we are God's children, God is on our side. He is for us. Notice Psalm 118, 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man do unto me. I will not fear. Why? The Lord's on my side. If God be for us, God is on our side if we are a born-again Christian. As we saw in verse 37, nay, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so, God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And so, let's see some of the things now that He does for us, because He is for us. Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And so the first thing we see is that God delivered up the Lord Jesus Christ for us. It wasn't for someone else. It wasn't for the animals. It wasn't for the angels. It was for man. Jesus Christ was delivered up for us. As it says there, he spared not his own son, but he, God, delivered him up. God delivered up the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And all of these great doctrines of salvation are wrapped up in that. Substitution, justification, imputation, redemption, adoption, regeneration, propitiation, atonement, all of that happened when we got saved because God delivered up Jesus Christ for us. And as we see in verse 31, he is for us. And the first thing he did for us is deliver up his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us. Now, because he did that, verse 32, he went further. He didn't just deliver up Jesus Christ for our salvation, but notice it says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. So when God saved us, and again, all those many doctrines of salvation wrapped up in what Jesus did at Calvary when he died and rose again, God says, I'm also, since I'm for you and since I've delivered up my son for you and you've trusted him as your Savior, I'm going to give you all things. Isn't that beautiful? He will give us all things. We could go the rest of the night just talking about all those things he gave us, can't we? He gives us the Holy Spirit, which we saw earlier in the chapter, to come in and dwell us. He gives us his grace, his guidance, his comfort, his wisdom, his power. He gives us everything. But we'll look at a few examples. John chapter 14, most of you know the verse, but we'll look at it anyway. At the funeral on Sunday, the preacher didn't like the way I quoted this verse, so he decided to quote it out of his Bible. In his Bible, it said, in my Father's house are many rooms. Well, I'd rather have a mansion than a room. I don't know about you. But it says there, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen? If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And so God's giving us a mansion. We don't deserve a mansion, but with our salvation comes a mansion. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And we'll see another thing. Outside of the great spiritual things that we mentioned, like grace and guidance and power and wisdom, it says here in chapter 1, verse 6 of Ephesians, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. God has made us completely acceptable in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to earn God's acceptance. A lot of Christians don't understand this. They spend their Christian life trying to earn God's acceptance. They already have it through Christ. We're not to serve God to get his acceptance. We're to serve him because we love him and we already have his acceptance. Two totally different things. And so, yes, he's preparing us a mansion. Look at Ephesians 1:11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We're told in 1 Peter 1, it's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that it's reserved in heaven for us. And part of that, of course, are the mansions. And then Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already in heaven because we're already in Christ. And Christ is in heaven. And time means nothing to God. So because God is for us, he delivered up his son for us, and he will also freely give us all things. Aren't we blessed? But we're not finished. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. The gospel is all about the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 34, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So because God is for us, who delivered up his Son for us, it says he will freely give us all things. But he doesn't stop there. He says that also now Jesus Christ is making intercession. There it is again. For us. For us. You can see why I chose this as the title. Because it just keeps reoccurring in the passage. And so the Lord Jesus Christ makes intercession for us, as we saw in verse 26 of the same chapter. The Holy Spirit makes our prayers acceptable. Go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. We'll see that our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, down in verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Look at those last two words. For us. Jesus is interceding for us. So because God is for us, he delivered up his Son for us. And he gives us all things. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. Now verses 35 to 39 we're going to look at next week as well, but we're going to look at the first three verses of the passage. But 35 to 39 is one of the most beautiful passages on eternal security. We'll talk about it next week. But verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And what we find in this passage is another thing that God does for us is we cannot be separated from his love. The devil can't separate us. The world can't separate it. We can't even separate ourselves from the love of God. Nothing, height nor depth, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We cannot be separated from the love of Christ. Notice it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You go to John 10, 28, Jesus and his promise to take care of his sheep. Part of that promise as the great shepherd is that we are secure. We cannot be separated from him. Notice John 10, 28, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We cannot be separated from the love of Christ. Look at Jude chapter 1, if you would, and verse 1. Of course, it's chapter 1. But Jude 1, 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Preserved. We are preserved in Christ. So, God is for us. Hallelujah. He delivered up Christ for us. He freely gives us all things. There in verse 32. Verse 34. The Lord Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. And we cannot be separated. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He also makes us more than conquerors. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, causeth us to triumph in Christ. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever born of God overcometh the world. More than conquerors through him that loved us. So because of God's amazing love and mercy, he says that he is for us. Those of us that are his children. He delivered up Christ for us. He will freely give us all things. The Lord Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. We cannot be separated from his love, no matter what the devil tries. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And again, we'll look at 35 to 39 next week. But tonight, just a glimpse into all the amazing things that God has done and is doing for us. None of them deserved, and none of them earned. Amen? Just given by an amazing God. All of that is for us. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you so much for being so good to us, Lord. We just are overwhelmed by your amazing kindness and all that you impart to us through Jesus. Thank you that we found Jesus as our Savior. And Lord, may we tell others this amazing news that if they will just but believe the gospel and repent and trust Christ, they can also say, God is for me. I pray, Lord, that we would live our lives as lives of gratitude for what we already have through you, what you've done for us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.